Why are we learning the Bible the way we are? Because the more you come to know Jesus, the more enriched, I guarantee you, you will become. People who say, I tried Christianity and it didn't work, didn't try Christianity. Because Christianity has not been tried and found wanting, it's been found difficult and not tried.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message entitled, Knowing Jesus Better, in this exciting series called Christ in Colossians. This is going to be another great study, so stay tuned. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Today we're continuing the series, Christ in Colossians, where we're going to be talking about knowing Jesus better. You know, one thing is for sure regarding Christianity. It is not a religion of rules to follow. It is a relationship with a person to follow, the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you really meet him, you really do want to know him better. In other words, once you've tasted of the love of Jesus, you only want more. So let's go right to the message and see what the book of Colossians has to say about how to know Jesus better. Now, we're going to talk about knowing Jesus better, which there is no greater life goal than that one. All right? Now, the last time we looked at Jesus as our great reconciler. Thank God for the reconciliation of Jesus Christ. And this time we're going to see Paul first encourage his readers to experience the truth as it is found in Jesus Christ. Can you say with me, he is truth? He didn't just tell the truth. He was truth. Personified, truth in person, truth consummately. He was truth, is truth, always will be. Now, then Paul's going to expose the lie of the cult that was threatening not just the Colossian church, but the entire church at large, all the way down to you and me, because this cult didn't do anything that cults in our day don't do, and that is undermine, marginalize, and attack the person and the work of Christ. And it's happening around us all the time, especially in a day of mass media. So I guarantee you, what they experienced back then, we've got squared. Amen? Now, the battle lines had been drawn, and Satan must be stopped here in Colossae. Paul knew, though it was a small, insignificant town, and the church was not a big church. It was not one of the more famous churches, yet that's where Satan chose to attack with this Gnostic cult. He attacked them, thinking if I can get a beachhead, establish a beachhead here, then I can spread throughout the rest of the church world. I need to pick the weakest link and attack it. And his methodology is the same with you and me today. He'll look for the weakest link in your life or mine or in a church, and he'll attack it because he doesn't play fair. Never has, never will. Now let's read together verse 1 of chapter 2. For I want you to know, well, that's about two of you. I know it's been a long day, but come on, I'm letting you preach now. I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. We know from the book of Revelations that the enemy's tactic against the church in Laodicea was luxury. You say you're rich and have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be genuinely rich. That was Laodicea. So how did he attack that church? Luxury. They had gotten to the point where they didn't even think they needed Jesus. I have need of nothing is what they said. And Jesus confronted them. Now, the tactic against the Colossian church was not luxury, but it was lies. So this shows you that Satan custom designs his modes of attack. He custom designs. He looks at the Colossian church and says, well, I can hit them with a lie. At the Laodicean church, I think I can hit them with materialism. So he custom designs based on the target. Now here, Paul was in great conflict of heart over both churches, Laodicea and Colossae. His prayer for them was that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. That is a classic Pauline sentence. Yeah, tapestry verse. Comma after comma after comma, truth stacked on top of truth on top of truth. So, let's look at it just a little bit. He says, bound together by love. We're not bound together by a church name. We're bound together by what? Love. Paul says that a good knowledge of Jesus Christ does what to us? That's what it does for us. Why are we learning the Bible the way we are? Because the more you come to know Jesus, the more enriched, I guarantee you, you will become. People who say, I tried Christianity and it didn't work, didn't try Christianity. They just thought they did. But they were very deceived. Because Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. Now he says here, the more you know Jesus, the more enriched you're going to be. Anybody in here want to know him better? Am I talking to people that just want to know Jesus better? That's the best thing you could do in your whole life is know Jesus better. Now the word used for riches means to be wealthy. The same word is used to describe the rich man whose prosperity was so great he contemplated building bigger barns to contain all of his goods. And Jesus called him a fool because he had not been rich toward God, but he was so rich he didn't know what to do with all of it. Same word is used, but it's talking about spiritual riches, riches of a different kind. Jesus talked about the superiority of spiritual riches over earthly wealth when he said these words. You'll recognize this. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Now, I was reading yesterday in the news, now we've got these copper thieves going around in some states. They're walking away with the whole AC units. They're not just going in and cutting the copper wire out. They're going in quick and swiftly and in mass and carrying away the whole unit, copper and all. And not only that, but they're going for copper gutters. So they're being called gutter thieves. Because in some places of the country, the corner of the gutters is made out of copper. So people are going out and finding that their gutter has been stolen. You know what? Anything on this earth can be stolen. That's why Jesus talked about, you better look at storing up treasures for yourself in heaven, because what's down here? Thieves break in and steal. You thought you had a great 401k till about 3 years ago when you woke up and realized half of it was gone. What happened to it? Poof, the stock market. It was gone. You can't track it down, chase it down, find the thieves that took it, although I know they're sitting in D.C. That's free. They steal with impunity. But anyway, Jesus said, whatever is down here, it can be taken from you. But guess what? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where no moth can get to it, no rust will destroy it, and no thief can steal it. Spiritual riches. What you're getting tonight, no thief can steal from you. Spiritual riches, all right? Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Amen. Now, show me what you love above all things, and I'll show you where your heart is. Now, keep in mind that the Gnostic cult attacking the Colossian church claimed to have a secret. This cult claimed to have a secret, and it was their secret knowledge. All cults talk this way. We've got an inside track. We're going to give you some information, if you'll become a part of us, that no one else has, They all say this. The Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all of them. Let us come into your living room, sit down with you, and we will open up this Bible or whatever it is they're peddling, and we will turn you on to some information that will change your life because we've got a secret. Don't even let them in your door. But this is the same thing, nothing new. They said, we got secret knowledge, Gnosticism, Gnostic cult, Gnosticism, the word for knowledge. We got knowledge, and this knowledge will save you. And the problem was that it didn't have anything to do with the blood sacrifice of Christ Jesus. It was another gospel. Now, the real truth was that God had a secret. I love that. God had a secret. And you know what he called it in the Bible? The mystery of God. That secret was Jesus Christ. Christ incarnate. Can you say with me, God had a secret? Oh, he does. Listen, how many of you were surprised to learn how real he was when you got saved? All right, God's got a secret. And that secret was Jesus Christ incarnate, God visiting man wrapped in skin, putting on a human form. Christ in whom dwelt all, not some, but all of the fullness of God. So now Paul, he's sharpening his saber, and he's about to let this cult have it full steam ahead. Watch this. He takes another deadly swipe at the Gnostic cult that was infiltrating the Colossian church and trying to lead them astray. And Paul scoffs at their so-called secret knowledge by stating, read this with me, in him, that is Jesus, lie hidden all, how many? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to know where wisdom is? It's in Jesus. You want to know who has all knowledge? It's Jesus. Now, when I read those last two words, it reminded me, in the Bible, you'll see a trilogy of words that have to do with wisdom, knowledge, and so forth. These, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's one of the Bible's favorite trilogy of words. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Well, what's the difference? Knowledge is information gained from learning. It's just having a bunch of facts. Knowledge is learning facts, data. That's it. Now, there's people that have all kinds of knowledge and no wisdom. They got all kinds of facts, but no wisdom. Knowledge is just the gathering of facts. So you can be very knowledgeable and have no wisdom. But what's wisdom? Wisdom is knowing the right thing and doing it. That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing the right thing, and not just that, but doing it. And where does wisdom come from? It begins. You will never have wisdom until you have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Now, if I have the fear of the Lord, when I know the right thing to do, I'm going to do it. If I don't have the fear of the Lord, I can know the right thing all day long. A lot of church folk are this way. I know the right thing, but I ain't going to do it. Did I just say ain't? I did. It was on purpose. See, wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. See, I can know a right thing, but have no fear of God and never do it. But if I've got the fear of the Lord, when I know the right thing to do, I'm going to do it. That's wisdom. Knowledge is gathering facts. Wisdom is knowing the right thing and then doing it. Well, then what's understanding? Understanding is having the information I need to do the right thing right. Let me tell you what I mean. Now, let's look at it this way. Matthew 18:15 says, if you know that you have offended your brother, or if your brother has offended you, go to him and work it out. Everybody know that verse? If your brother has offended you, go to him and work it out. All right, then we have that knowledge. I know the fact. Jesus said it. Now, if I have the fear of the Lord, when my brother offends me, I'm going to what? Do it. Why? Because I have the fear of the Lord. Come on, y'all are coming around now. So I can have the knowledge that I should do, but I see church people all the time. They'll have an offense happen between them, and they will not go work it out. They have the knowledge, but they don't have wisdom to go do the right thing because the fear of the Lord has not been instilled in their life like it ought to be. But now watch this. I also know that if I've got an issue with a brother and I'm supposed to go to him and I'm very willing to go do it, that's my wisdom. I'm going to do it. But understanding helps me to know how to execute it in a way that it's successful in terms of timing, what I say, how I say it. That's understanding. Knowledge is factual gathering. Wisdom is knowing the right thing and doing it. Understanding is knowing how to do the right thing best. Now, where do you get all of that? Jesus. So I go to my brother and I say, look, I messed up too, and I said some things I shouldn't have said, and man, I love you, and can we just pray together, and I want to work this out, and I don't want to say anything to make you matter, and I pick the right timing, I pick the right place, I pick the right wording, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You need all three, and they all three are found in Jesus. Jesus has it all. In fact, the humblest believer who knows the Lord Jesus has access to more knowledge and more wisdom than any unsaved person. No matter how many degrees they hold or how high their IQ, I've seen people with extremely high IQs live stupid lives. They have volumes of encyclopedic information, but they have zero wisdom, no understanding. What we want is knowledge, then we want wisdom, then we want understanding. And it's all found in Him. The psalmist wrote, watch this, I love this. The Lord's laws are faithful, they make naive people wise. See, some of you sitting in here tonight, you may have never gotten past high school, but you have more wisdom than some PhDs walking around that have never been exposed to the Word of God and never been exposed to Christ. That's the fact. That's just truth. I know it. If you just read the Bible, it makes naive people wise. Our world has got plenty of knowledge, but we don't have much wisdom. Just before Jesus went to Calvary, He said in the last days, just prior to His return, there would be perplexity of nations. Perplexity of nations. One commentator says this phrase can be translated, quote, at a loss for a way, or no solution to their embarrassments. Are we there right now? Look at America right now. Our schools are caving in. We're the most blessed nation in the history of the world. We're the most wealthy nation in the history of the world. Yet our schools are way, way, way down on the list of quality and effectiveness. We got scandals now in America, in Atlanta and other places, where teachers have literally erased and changed test scores for children in mass over 10 years, passing them when they don't know anything, so that they can look good when they are looking at a promotion. We are professing ourselves to be wise. We have become fools. I could preach on this all night long. It is incredible to look at what we could have, should have, and don't have because we told God, don't need you, don't want you. There's the door, adios, goodbye. And when God walked out, ignorance walked in because He is the cornerstone of all true education. So we've got all these perplexing problems, no solution to our embarrassments. Or it can mean at their wit's end. Perplexity of nations, they're going to be at their wit's end or without resources. Now think about this. We have mega chips the size of a fingernail, able to store more than 1 million bits of information, and capable of pouring out over 1 million bits of information before we can say, hi. Think about that. a million bits of information on the size of a fingernail, and they're going to go way past that in no time. We've been in the moon. We can contact anyone on Earth in mere seconds. Yet as the final minutes of time sift through the prophetic hourglass and the return of Christ is at the door, man is going to find himself, according to Jesus, perplexed, confused, at a loss, and at his wit's end. Plenty of knowledge, but no wisdom. You know why? Because there's no fear of the Lord. Paul continues. He says, quote, I'm telling you this so that no one beguiles you with enticing words, because even though I'm absent physically, I'm with you in the spirit. I'm happy to see the discipline and stability of your faith in Christ. That's verses 5 and 6. Now, the word beguiles, be careful that nobody beguiles you, means deceived by false reasoning. It occurs in the Bible only here and in James 1 verse 22, where we're warned against deceiving ourselves. Because if you deceive you, you are really deceived. The phrase enticing words, be careful nobody beguiles you with enticing words, means persuasive speech and plausible arguments. The kind of stuff you get when you go to college and they set out to ruin your faith. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. This is exactly what the Gnostic cult was doing. They were persuasively arguing with false reasoning to entice them into believing their claims. All cults and false teachings do the same thing. Evolution, atheism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Eastern religions like Buddhism, Hinduism, all of them, they do exactly the same thing. They use persuasive words with seeming logic to try to seduce you away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. They'll call you ignorant, stupid, backward, uninformed, naive, dumb, and worse. If you go to college and say, I believe in Jesus Christ and I believe that God created the universe, right there, they got you tagged. But you know what? Evolution doesn't have a tail to swing by. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, these all prey upon the uninformed and the young in the faith. All these cults do. How many times have you seen young people go off to college only to have their faith undermined by the smooth, enticing words of atheistic evolutionists? Happens all the time. Every day. Happening right now somewhere. Oh, yeah. This all just evolved out of nothing. Something never comes from nothing unless it's created by God. This is why Paul is bringing his readers back to Christ Jesus. He says, come on back. Let's get back. For all truth is centered in him. Jesus said of himself, read it with me, I am the truth. Preach it to me now. Say it again. I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the consummation of truth. Period. Truth begins and ends with him. It's consummated in him. It's complete in him. It's a good thing to keep in mind that by the time Jesus appeared, all major world religions except for Islam had already been founded. When Jesus was born, they had all already been founded a couple of centuries before. Buddha, Confucius had already come and gone. The great Greek thinkers, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all of them had come and gone. They got the world's attention. They impressed everybody. They still impress our poor colleges who put all kinds of stock in those people who themselves admitted that their philosophy had not done it for them. And yet we'll talk about Plato and Aristotle and Socrates and...
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. We are so glad to have you here with us today. Before you touch that dial, we would like to take this opportunity to thank you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Every time God uses the ministry of Life Talk to transform a life by the power of Jesus Christ, it's because somebody like you gave financially and helped make it possible. Life Talks Daily program is listener supported. So if you're interested in supporting this ministry, call us toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. And there you can make a donation to empower Life Talk to continue transforming lives with the power of the gospel. Once again, visit us online at lifetalkradio.us or call us toll-free at 877-884-3111 and give your best gift today. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled, Knowing Jesus Better, in this series called Christ in Colossians. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.